Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to the program Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Thank you for listening to AFR, and we are going to be here for the next hour and 25 minutes for this particular show. Joining me to co-host is Ed Vitagliano. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
Walker Wildman is with us. Walker, good morning to you.
Good morning.
You want to tell us what we're doing on the World Wide Web?
Yes, I'll be glad to. A couple things. First thing, and I mention this every day, but...
And you do a good job every day, I think. Some days better than others.
Yeah.
If I had to go on a 1 to 5 scale... Mm-hmm. Most days, 4.5.
Yeah. But isn't that life? I mean, you have your good days and bad days, right?
Yes. It's rare that you drop down to a 3 or 2.
Yeah. But it happens. I mean.
Well, we all have slow days.
But I think I'm a 5 today, so I'm going to go ahead
for it.
And continue talking
if you
here.
Think so, let's go.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, with dads like this, who needs enemies?
Right. I graded him a 4.5. I mean, what do you want? Nobody's perfect.
Well, you're supposed to encourage him and tell him he's a winner every day, too.
Right, okay.
Even if I'm not.
That's right.
Everybody well, you can watch us make a fool of ourselves on Facebook. No, I'm kidding. Watch us on Facebook, Today's Issues on Facebook. Mm-hmm. Also, I post the news articles there from onenewsnow.com, which is our news service. The other way you can keep up with the show is on YouTube by watching the show and download the American Family Radio app on your smartphone or your tablet device.
Okay. YouTube, Facebook, just type in Today's Issues. You can watch the show live, right?
That's right.
We put cameras in this here studio.
This here studio.
So Ed Vitagliano can maybe get a job as a spokesperson for some company. But Pete,
so now we're going. Now we're going right to Ed,
and we're going to ethnic stereotype.
That's right,
a pizza company.
All you pizza.
You want, if you find yourself an Italian, right here, we'll be glad to advertise.
So any pizza company interested in getting the Italian to be a spokesperson,
right?
Just go.
Yeah,
right
you've
ahead.
Never heard that one before, have you, Ed? Italians and pizza. Good morning, Fred Jackson.
Good morning. Yeah, AFR News on Florence Watch. Right.
Yeah, having a little fun here, but in all seriousness, for the folks in the Carolinas, it's not very funny right now.
Carolinas, a little bit of Georgia, and then go
South
further
Virginia.
North to Virginia.
Yeah.
All of that area. Florence, Hurricane Florence, Cat 4, a firm 4 right now, which means 130 mile per hour winds plus.
When it hits the coast?
No, it is right now. That's where it is. But it should hit as a Cat 4. That's what they're predicting. 500 miles off the coast right now, probably by late tomorrow evening, making landfall. The projections at the moment have moved it a little further south down, almost on the border of North Carolina, South Carolina. So a little bit further south than what it was yesterday. But all the dire predictions that they have been making for the last 48 hours are holding. That this thing is going to hit shore, very powerful, and then it's going to stick around for a long while because there are weather systems that are jamming it. And so when it comes ashore, you're going to have the three-pronged problem. You're going to have the surge. You're going to have high winds, 130-mile-an-hour-plus winds, and then you're going to have rain. The conservative projection for rain, which will continue as it moves inland, is at least 35 inches of rain over a short period of time. Now, we've been comparing it with Harvey.
At least
35 inches of rain.
That seems impossible.
They're saying the Outer Banks, that 35 inches of rain, mm-hmm. what they're saying for the Outer Banks, it's those kind of barrier islands. They said the storm surge could reach up to 13 feet.
Yeah.
Does that cover a barrier island? Does that sweep across a barrier island? How much above sea level is a?
That's a good question.
Cape Hatteras, for example.
It's pretty flat.
That's what I'm saying.
That area. Yeah.
Well, storm. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if you know
13
how
feet?
High. 13 feet. I know that's
well. If you
that's
have
twice my height, a normal house would be probably ceilings. You know, the 10 foot, and then I don't know about the roof.
Yeah, it may not cover it with water for an extended period of time, but at a minimum, you'll have water damage. You'll have big waves coming through, probably going inland. You know.
Well, I tell you here also, what you don't think about, because we don't ever experience this unless you've gone through one of these strong hurricanes, and usually our Category 4 hurricanes hitting the U.S. mainland, very rare, mm-hmm. Category 4. Category 3 and below, yes. But a 4, you're talking about the 130-mile-an-hour winds. Mm-hmm. And what I'm saying is, it's one thing to have a blast of a 130-mile-an-hour wind. Yeah. If you're held your...
A gust, something
like that. I mean, who feels that, right? But, I mean, you know what I'm saying. We're talking about sustained for, an hour? You know, an hour?
If it sits there, who knows?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think when they're saying sit there, Ed, and I'm no meteorologist, but I think what they mean is it will the power of the winds will dissipate as it goes inland, as it hits the coast, because it can't regenerate that strength because it's not over water. By sit there or stall out, I think it's like what happened to Harvey in Texas. In other words, the rain sits there because the storm can't go anywhere. But 130-mile-an-hour sustained winds, if that kind of winds hit the coast, you know,
tears buildings apart.
Oh, my word. Yeah. So you got that, the storm surge you mentioned, and also the rain.
The rain, and the rain becomes a big problem as it moves inland, as you get more mountainous in there.
Right.
Washing things down. You've got flash floods happening in the smaller streams. You know, one thing that can be said about authorities is that no one can blame authorities because they've been warning people now for days, get out, get out, get out. And we're talking millions of people here. And some of the states, they've opened up the turnpikes, the interstates, so that it's traffic flow in one direction.
Right.
In this case, everything heading west, all lanes are open heading west.
Right. Like what happened in Florida last year.
Exactly that. So they're making it as best they can possible for people to get out of Dodge.
Right.
Get out of there. And, you know, hotels in Charlotte are packed right now. That's another part of the human story in all of this. You know, we see people being interviewed, packing the trunks of their car and taking their trailers and that sort of thing. But they don't know when they're going to get back there.
Yeah.
It could be weeks. And when they get back there, they don't know what they're going to be facing. The governors are saying they're talking already in advance, weeks without electrical power. Weeks.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Are you talking about Myrtle Beach, between Myrtle Beach and is it Wrightsville Beach? Is that a projected landfall?
That's where it is this morning.
Yeah. Yeah. It trending southward.
That's what they're saying.
Last reports.
Yeah.
Of course, all the Navy ships have gone out to sea. We know that. This is an interesting quote from the National Hurricane Center director, Ken Graham.
Yes.
That's the gentleman's name, Ken Graham, and he's the director. I'm assuming that's either right at the top or the top guy.
Yeah.
Huh?
He's the director of the National Hurricane Center.
Okay. Mm-hmm. This is his quote.
Mm-hmm.
Quote, "This one really scares me," mm-hmm. end quote. Mm-hmm. Now, I know that, you know, the folks on the Weather Channel, God bless them, and I watch them, and they do a great job, but, you know, sometimes they're given to hyping things up because they want to keep the viewers.
Right.
That sounds terrible, but. You know what I'm saying. They want to make weather exciting. It's usually dull.
It's like any kind of news that used to be the line used to be, if it bleeds, it leads. You get people's eyes on your station. And
I go to the weather. Something like this happens. I go to the Weather Channel and it stays on there.
Yeah.
For at least 30 minutes or an hour to find out what the situation is. But I'm just saying this gentleman is the director of the National Hurricane Center, and he says, quote, "This one really scares me."
And he's not trying to keep viewers.
Right.
That's my point.
He's not in the media.
Good. He just right. stating facts as he sees them. And you're talking about the size of the waves out there. You know, I don't know if they're going to hit the coast. Maybe if they do, it's going to do some serious erosion. But anyway, Walker, we have you did some research. We have six or eight stations that are probably going to be affected by the storm.
Yeah, three that are, I mean, we're almost 90% sure they're going to be affected, whether it be flooding or power outages. One is in near Morehead City, which is also by Cape Lookout. The stations in Beaufort, North Carolina, however you pronounce that. And then we're in Jacksonville, North Carolina, and then we're in New Bern. All three of those, they're kind of make a triangle there, but they're all within miles of the coast. Yeah. One of them's on the coast.
Yeah, and we don't want to, again, we just be self-centered here. I know millions of people are going to be affected with power outages, and their lives are going to be disrupted for weeks on for probably weeks. But how this affects our signal and our station, I just wanted Walker to tell folks, because I know last year, was it 2 years ago, our station in Dillon, South Carolina, remember when it flooded there in South Carolina? Mm-hmm. It just rained on
Nikki
them.
Nikki Haley was still the governor there, I think. Yeah. This was just before the inauguration.
But it rained and rained and rained and rained. It just sat on top of that area, and so one of our station there in Dillon, it flooded.
Yeah.
And our equipment was underwater. Mm. True?
Yeah, true.
And so and that was 40 grand.
Yeah, it happens.
Yeah.
I mean, so anyway, that happens.
I was just going to say on Facebook, one of those who are watching the show, Joanna, she says, we're hundreds of miles inland, and they're calling for 10 inches of rain.
Yeah.
Hundreds of miles inland. Mm-hmm. So this is a big storm that is going to affect not just the coast. It's expected to slam this area, but its impact is going to be felt further inland as well.
You know, I've never experienced more than 10. I remember when it rained 10 inches. This is 25 years ago, 30 years ago. It rained 10 inches over the course of 3 days where we live here in Northeast Mississippi. And it was massive. It was flooding. And they had to go. My grandparents were living on the waterway, and they had to go get them out of they were elderly at the time. They had to go get them out of their house because the water was coming over the banks.
Yeah.
And that was with 10 inches of rain.
Right.
So I can't imagine.
35 inches?
No, 35 inches. That's like what happened in Houston. It's going to happen somewhere. Mm-hmm. And so 10 inches, how many miles inland?
Well, this is Joanna says, we are hundreds of miles inland.
They're calling for 10 inches.
And they're calling for 10 inches of rain. Because it's the width of this storm, when you look at these kinds of models, you can see hundreds of miles inland. It's going to be dumping it.
Well, you're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on American Family Radio. I wonder if Jim Cantore ever gets tired of these things. He does.
He goes to sleep, and
if he does, he fakes it well because he gets.
I think he loves it.
He lives for it. Yeah.
This is what he lives for.
One day, though, I'm afraid something bad's going to happen to those guys who stand out there.
Yeah.
Huh?
Defy the wind, lean in.
The ones who get out there to show you how strong.
I always
the
worry
are.
About some sign getting torn off.
That's what
off
I'm talking about on live TV.
Yes.
And then they get some projectile.
Right. Yeah.
It could, you know, but. Anyway, all right, Fred, what's the next news story?
This is shocking news.
Okay, Fred.
Ex-President Barack Obama
mm-hmm.
may have not told the truth.
What?
Breaking news.
Breaking news. Well, he went on the campaign trail last weekend.
Who is he campaigning for?
All of the Democratic Party, because he feels he's their savior still.
Yeah.
Okay?
Okay.
So he goes and speaks at the, I guess it was the University of Illinois. And one of the things he said was, of course, he went on the attack, I think without naming President Trump, he went on the attack against President Trump. And one of the things that he expressed concern about was President Trump's attack on the freedom of the press.
Mm-hmm.
So let's listen to what the ex-president Barack Obama had to say about his concern about the freedom of the press. Cut two.
It shouldn't be Democratic or Republican to say that We don't threaten the freedom of the press because they say things or publish stories we don't like. I complain plenty about Fox News. But you never heard me threaten to shut them down or call them enemies of the people.
Well, let's take a trip down memory lane when president, all right? The Obama administration, this is an Associated Press fact check, all right? This is not just expressing an opinion. The Obama administration used the 1917 Espionage Act with unprecedented vigor, prosecuting more people under that law for leaking sensitive information to the public than all previous administrations combined. Obama's Justice Department dug into confidential communications between news organizations and their sources as part of that effort.
James Rosen.
In 2013, the Obama administration obtained the records of 20 Associated Press office phone lines and reporters' home and cell phones, seizing them without notice as part of an investigation into the disclosure of information about a foiled Al-Qaeda terrorist plot. AP was not the target of the investigation, but it called the seizure a massive and unprecedented intrusion into its news-gathering activities, betraying information about its operations that the government has no conceivable right to know. As you just mentioned, Walker, the Obama Justice Department also secretly dogged Fox News journalist James Rosen, getting his phone records, tracking his arrivals and departures at the State Department through his security badge use, obtaining a search warrant to see his personal emails, and naming him as a possible criminal conspirator in the investigation of a news leak. And yet, he had the audacity to say, you never saw me doing what Donald Trump. All President Trump has done is fake news.
Right.
He's verbal.
He doesn't,
you know, he doesn't think they're fair. He gripes.
That's what he does. He gripes.
But there's no charge, unlike the Obama administration did, using the Justice Department to go after reporters, get their cell phone numbers, track reporters, see they're going into the State Department.
That was, for a while, that was one of many scandals on the Obama administration in terms of what the Obama administration was doing. But there were so many scandals, Fast and Furious and all these things, that they would all get lost in the dust of the next one coming down the road. But I remember when they were going after these Associated Press reporters, that was a big deal for a few days, and then it just kind of disappeared.
Mm-hmm. But good on the Associated Press for raising this.
Yes.
Well, he wasn't finished with his misdirection of the facts. Also at that speech at the University of Illinois, Urbana-Champaign, he said Republicans will be coming after Obamacare if they retain control of Congress. Cut three.
Their sabotage of the Affordable Care Act has already cost more than 3 million Americans their health insurance. And if they're still in power next fall, you better believe they're coming at it again. They've said so.
All right, so you heard him mention the number. The attack against the Affordable Care Act, better known as Obamacare, according to Obama, has already cost more than 3 million Americans their health insurance. That's what he said in that speech. You just heard it.
I heard it.
Here are the facts. Obama is, according to the AP, is cherry-picking survey results, overlooking a recent estimate from the Centers of Disease Control and Prevention that found the number of uninsured Americans basically unchanged under President Trump. He's also blaming Republicans for all the problems with health insurance, ignoring the fact that premiums started going up sharply under Obama's watch. Remember that?
Yes. Yes.
All of those complaints that were out there. So there you have it, folks. I know you're shocked, but Obama stretching the truth.
I'll tell you something else he's stretching the truth about, and that is that Republicans are going to get rid of Obamacare.
Yeah,
more and more. Happen, is it? You're going. Wait a second. Well, I don't even think the Republicans
John McCain
are
is
to.
No longer in the Senate.
Yeah,
so there may be a shot at that.
That's true.
Yeah, I doubt it though.
Yeah, keep in mind when you say that, and you're right technically, Republicans, but it was only three Republicans.
Yeah, you're always so optimistic.
Yeah,
too.
Well, I think there was 47 or so 40 46. 95% of the Republicans voted to get rid of Obamacare, but they did have three of their colleagues. Mm-hmm. And John McCain, the late John McCain, he took great pleasure and joy in
the thumbs down.
Thumbs down. Yeah.
To side with Ed's pessimistic side.
You just call me Captain Sunshine.
Yeah, well,
the thing is,
that's my outlook on the
quote,
politics.
The quote repeal bill that was voted on by 95% of the Republicans was very, very watered down,
slim repeal.
From what they campaigned on. They campaigned on pulling the roots out of Obamacare. But on a side note, the whole health care deal, under President Obama and even under President Trump, these health care premiums are outrageous for some of these families. I mean, I talk to people that I know, and they're like, yeah, we pay, $1,000 a month for health care premiums, $1,500 a month, $2,000 a month if you have a big family. So
with huge deductibles.
Yeah. So the
is that for Obamacare?
Well, just for any kind of health care coverage. But Obamacare has kind of led down that road because of the lowering of options.
I know a lot of people work just to get the medical insurance.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. In other words, I know a fella who he doesn't need the income from the job, but he works at the job, a second job, just for the insurance.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Medical insurance. So
it's a big chunk of change for a lot of people.
Yeah. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Next story, Fred.
Well, it's along a similar vein, and this will shock you. The Washington Post has caught Hillary Clinton in a misstatement.
No.
Breaking news. Washington Post.
My faith in her was beginning to be restored.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're telling me